Good evening. Truly, it is a blessing and an honor to be here with you tonight, to share with you. We thank God for Pastor Joel and just this invitation to be here tonight. I have admired Thompson Road for quite some years since I was a little kid. I used to drive or ride past this place going to school, Perry Meridian, as a little kid. And I used to wonder, who are the people in that place? And so it's an honor to be here with you all today. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this another blessed day. Thank you for your fresh mercies made available to us early this morning. And for the opportunity to be here tonight and to share with your people, your children, I pray and ask that you would grant me wisdom from on high. Keep me hidden behind this sacred desk, that your word would go forth with power and with conviction, with clarity. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Again, to all of the officers, the deacons, thank a good friend of mine, Carl McMitchell. He wanted to be here tonight, so we thank God for him to be here as well. Pastor asked, he said he was sharing the book of Ephesians. And so he wanted me to come over and share with you something that has blessed me as I have studied the book of Ephesians myself, and currently being put in a position to share and through conferences to help others appreciate the richness in the book of Ephesians. So I'm not going to attempt to try to cover. I've listened to Pastor and listened to some of his messages, so I know that you're being blessed as you go through it. But I want to talk about this topic tonight. A new humanity, divinely created by God. Can you hear me okay? A new humanity, divinely created by God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to begin with verse 9. I have like an hour and a half, right? Okay, so all right. I pastor a predominantly African-American congregation. And, you know, an African-American congregation is a little more expressive, and they say amen. And so when they say amen, that helps me to know they're getting it, but it also rushes me along. So I'm not as long. So I don't know. If you don't say amen, I don't know how long I'm going to be tonight. But that's okay. Typically, I'm not long-winded. But I pray that this would bless you and tonight. Ephesians chapter 3. Beginning with the 9th verse, and it reads this way. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Amen. A new humanity, divinely created by God. Growing up, in the inner city of Indianapolis. I struggled with what I heard, and I struggled with what I saw. I heard this: Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are all precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Jesus died for all the children of the world. Y'all remember that song? Red and yellow, black and white. They're all what? Precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I heard that a lot. And I received the impression that Jesus loved people. And that his people made up various ethnicities. But then I struggled with what I saw. Because guess what I saw? I saw people who said they belonged to Jesus didn't act like it. The love wasn't there. I heard things and saw things that left me confused as a child, where I began to wonder, is this all there is to Christianity? Have a confession to make. I grew up with all of that tension and stress and was angry. And then while serving as a pastor in Denver, Colorado, coming out the mountains, one day I just let the Lord know I was frustrated with people altogether, black and white. And that's when I realized something was wrong with me. I thought something was wrong with others. And so I immediately rushed to the church that I was pastoring and got on my knees and began to pray. I said, Lord, what's wrong with me? That I grew up where if you were not black, I had a problem with you. And now, and here it is, as an adult, I couldn't even stand black folks. It's hard to laugh, yes. That sounds like somebody who's confused. And I said, Lord, what's wrong? And it made it clear to me that you're not preaching my gospel. And so that took me on another journey, trying to figure out, what is this Christianity all about? I'm not losing anyone, am I? You're still with me? And so as I'm on this journey, praying and trying to discover, Lord, what is this thing all about? I have to say it was a wonderful journey. As he brought me to a place where I realized that Jesus had a family that consisted of people of different ethnicities. And he made them all, guess what? One. He made them all one. As I continued to grow, I told you that I struggled. I was a little bothered by what I saw and what I heard. As I continued to grow, I realized there was a lot of tension between who we are, why we exist, and what we're doing. Did y'all catch that? Who we are, why we exist, and what we're doing. Many people say, I'm a Christian. But what does that really mean? What does that look like? And so there was the tension of trying to figure out and seeing people say who they were, but at the same time, not really understanding, why do I exist? Lord, why did you save me? Do you all think that he saved you just so that you can go to heaven and miss hell? No. There's so much more to this. That this is not about just my journey, but this is about our journey and our journey together that brings him glory. My wife has blessed me with 5 children. Yes, 5. And I thank God for all 5 of my children. And I teach them, you are to love each other. You don't fight each other. Even if you have disagreements, you love each other. You look out for each other. You take care of each other. Because I wanted them to know it would break my heart if I saw my children fighting one another. But they're called to love each other. Amen? Amen. So, Ephesians. Ephesians teaches us that we are a new humanity that has been divinely created by God. What does that mean? God has created a new people group made up of diverse ethnicities who are called to live together for his glory. Wow. We are a new humanity. And guess what? This is not something we have to work towards. This is who we are. I teach at the church where I serve, have the pleasure of serving. I'm teaching them that we don't get to pick and choose who's in the family of God. Just like you didn't get to pick and choose who was born in your family. But you love them the moment they come in. And they can be so different. All your children can be so different from each other, right? We're so different from each other, but we don't get to pick and choose who's a part of the family. And God still calls all of us to be what? He calls for us to be one. So we are a new humanity. And as this new humanity, our purpose is to bring God glory. Our purpose is to make known the mystery of the gospel. Our purpose is to reveal the manifold wisdom of God. I'm not losing anyone, am I? Trying to paint a picture to take us somewhere. This is our purpose. And so it's to bring God glory. God said, I'm going to save people. I'm going to call people out of darkness into the marvelous light who are so different from each other. And I'm going to make them one. And in making them one, they're going to bring me glory. In making them one, they're going to make known the mystery of the gospel. In making them one, they're going to also reveal the manifold wisdom of God. When people who are so different from each other become what? One. See, God did not save us for us to live and walk this thing out the way we want. But he saved us and made us a part of a family to bring him glory. Oh, I tell you, when I discovered that, I was liberated. Because I found out, guess who I get to love? Everyone. I get to love everyone. I was laughing over there to myself because in Ephesians, I don't know if you started dealing with this yet, Pastor, but they talk about them singing hymns together. And the reason they say that in Ephesians is because the sign of being one is that the people are able to sing what? Together. And a lot of times we pick and choose where we worship based on what? Music. I don't like that. But there's something about when the people of God come together and we're not so caught up with how it sounds, but we're caught up with this. We're one, and because we are one, we get to sing together. We get to worship together. I tell my congregation that there are times as a family, you get to eat hamburgers. But grandmama doesn't always want hamburgers. She might want some lima beans. And so there are times as a family, guess what we have to eat? Lima beans. We don't just eat hamburgers and we don't just eat lima beans. But as the family, some night it's a hamburger and some nights it's lima beans. But that's because we are family and we're in this thing together. So as this new humanity, our purpose is to bring God glory, is to make known the mystery of the gospel. It is to reveal the manifold wisdom of God. And why is understanding our new humanity so important? Well, it's so important because being one in Christ is vital for establishing credibility. Did y'all know that? Being one in Christ is vital for establishing credibility. Credibility is being able to be trusted or believed in. And how can people believe who Jesus is and believe this gospel if we're not able to love each other? And when I say we, people of different ethnicities are not able to love each other. How do we make the gospel or make Jesus Christ credible if we can't be one? Scripture says they will know you are my disciples by the what? Love. Matter of fact, the scripture also teaches us in 1 John that we pass from death to life because we what? Love the brethren. Wow. How do I know that I'm saved? When I can love you and I know this is real. When I know you're my brother. When I know you're my sister, and skin color has nothing to do with it. Our upbringing has nothing to do with it. Where you come from has nothing to do with it. The fact that Jesus saved you and he saved me, he made us one. And our being one, our walking together, our loving together, our worshiping together, it establishes credibility. How can the world believe who Jesus is if we don't know how to act with each other? If people who say they're his children don't know how to act. Now, can I share this with you? This same message that I'm sharing with you, I share with predominantly African-American congregations. I share it with Hispanic congregations. I share it everywhere I go that we are one. And so we establish credibility. And I believe we want to be credible, correct? Amen. So, the Lord takes people who are so different, and he says, I'm going to make a new humanity. People who will reveal my glory. People who will make known the mystery of the gospel. People who will reveal the manifold wisdom of God. I'm going to bring people who are so different and bring them together as one. Isn't that what our world is trying to do? Our world is working hard trying to get along, trying to find peace. When brothers and sisters, we already have it. And if we go ahead and just walk in who we are, the world has a chance to see this gospel on display. Because what they're pursuing, they'll never find. But it's something we already have. So why is it important, this new humanity? This new humanity is important because our diverse ethnicities reveals the power of the gospel. It reveals the power of the gospel. What else can take people who are so different and make them what? One. It's the gospel. In biblical days, three things made up a man. Ethnicity, religion, and politics. Say that with me. Ethnicity, religion, and politics. And you already know, we have a hard time coming together today because of those very things. Ethnicity, religion, and politics. Isn't that why we fall out today? This is where you can say amen. It might rush me along. Really? I'm very conservative in my political views. But I have friends who are not as conservative. But I cannot throw them away. Because what do? Normally when people think differently from us, we have nothing to do with them, right? We find our own group to mesh with. People who look like us, people who think like us, because that's how we've been raised. When we miss that God has called people who are so different and brought them together as one to reveal the power of what? The gospel. So in those days, ethnicity, what? And what else? And guess what Christ did? He took people who were, they were strong in their ethnicities, in their religion, and their politics. And guess what he did with people who were strong in those areas? He made them what? Wow. Do you believe the gospel still has that same kind of power today? While, see, Christians are falling out with each other when we need each other. I've been telling my wife for a long time, we need each other. While we act like we don't, we need each other. Because our world is becoming more and more hostile. And guess who they're going to turn on next? On us. We need each other. There was no greater hatred than what a Jew had for a Gentile. Did y'all know that? And the feeling were mutual. Jews hated Gentiles, and Gentiles returned the favor and hated Jews. And Christ took people who hated each other and made them what? One. This is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, for us to understand why we don't get to pick and choose how we're going to behave. We have to accept what Christ has already said about us. And if we are the family of God, then again, we don't get to pick and choose who's born into that family. Amen. We're too busy, or we're spending too much time saying this. You have to fix this first before we can come together. If Pastor Joel and I said the only way we can come together is that we have to settle an issue between us that happened in the past, we might not settle it. Because sometimes I might be what? Stubborn. Pastor might be stubborn. But I love what Jesus said in Ephesians. The scripture says, Christ is our what? Peace. See, I don't have to say, let's settle this first before we come together. By the scripture saying Christ is our peace, that's where we come together. You will never really work through all of your issues before you can come together. Did y'all know that? Yeah, that's why sometimes it's best to just forgive and give folk another chance. Isn't that what the Lord did for us? He forgave us and gave us another chance. He didn't say, do this, do this, do this, do this, and do this, because he knew you couldn't do it. So guess what he said? I'm going to meet you. I'll meet you right where you are. Wow. And so a lot of times our fight is we're waiting for people to make the first move. Rather than just accepting, Lord, you've already given us peace. Issues have already been settled between us. You've already made us one. You really are my brothers and sisters. I really am your brother. And when we embrace that, we bring God glory. And we help the world to know what this gospel is all about. Because what has this gospel done for us? This gospel saved us. Is that right? It saved us. And because he saved us, we get to come together and now go and share this gospel with others. I said that it's important for us to understand that we are a new humanity and that our being one brings credibility. Do you know how much credibility it gives your witness? It will give our witness if the world. See, black folks, white folks, brown folks, yellow folks, red folks, who are all Christians, behaving as one. I'm not boring you tonight, am I? Can you imagine what that will do for us? How much credibility it gives us? How much power it gives us? When the world will be able to see that what we have is the real thing. And it reveals the wisdom of God, that God was able to take people who are so different and bring them together and make them one. I shared with you when I began tonight, I was struggling because what I saw and what I heard, it was off. But I'm so grateful today that I'm no longer struggling. But I'm free. And being a part of this new humanity, it allows us to be free. This gentleman is here with me tonight. Fell in love with him a few years ago because found out that he was a brother who we thought just alike. And it's wonderful when God sets you free. So Thompson Road, God has left you here for a long time. And he's been doing work here for a long time. But just want to remind you tonight that when God saved you, he saved you to make you a part of his family. And in his family, you have folks of different ethnicities that come together to be one. And it's being one that bring God what? Glory. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Don't fool me now. Isn't that a beautiful thing? To be free enough to love the people of God. To be free enough to care for the people of God. To be free enough that I can worship anywhere with the people of God. That's a blessing. I'm going to share this as I close. I love in chapter 1. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, the Lord says, well, the scripture teaches us that we were chosen, we were adopted, we were redeemed. He revealed his plan to us. Given an inheritance, and he sealed us with his Holy Spirit. For the longest, I always read that as something that he did for me. But if you go back and read that in chapter 1, it keeps saying, we were chosen. We were adopted. We have been redeemed. We have had his plan revealed to us. We have received this inheritance. We have been sealed with His precious Holy Spirit. We're in this thing together. Who in here is a loner? Nobody's a loner? All right. Nothing wrong. But even as a loner, we get to be one with the body of Christ. And so I thank you tonight for letting me come and just share a little bit with you about this new humanity that has been divinely created by God. No one else could do this. Only He could do this with His gospel. No one else can bring people together who are so different from each other. But He can. And not only can He, but guess what, brothers and sisters? He has. He has brought us together and made us one. And we get to be family. And we don't have to wait till we get to heaven. But we can be family. We're family on this side of heaven. God bless you. Father, we thank you right now for just reminding us Lord, that you've called people who were in darkness. You've brought us from darkness into the marvelous light. And you've made us one with each other as we have been reconciled to God and reconciled with each other. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. Forgive us, Father, for times being selfish and not really understanding why you saved us. But we thank you for making us a part of the bigger plan, a plan to make known this gospel to so many others. And we get to be a part of that by walking out the results of the gospel in our lives together. And so, Lord, we say thank you for this opportunity. Now help us to do well because of your grace, to love each other, to stand with each other, to care for each other, to encourage each other, to properly nurture each other. All for your glory. It's in your name we pray. Amen. God bless you.